open your Bibles with me this evening. Let's receive our evening offering. This is very important information. Now, during our offering time last evening, we talked about our traditions making the Word of God of no effect. And then from the 14th chapter of Matthew, we read where Jesus took the loaves and the fishes, and he blessed them, and he broke them, and he distributed them. And then we woke up to the fact that what we've been praying, for the most part, over our meals, all of us praying over our meals three times a day, to no effect. Why? Because instead of inquiring with the Word of God and how to pray and what to pray and what to expect from that prayer on this food, we said grace. We prayed for Jesus' sake, amen. It wasn't for his sake, it's my sake. I'm the one that got to eat this. All kinds of religious ideas. And 99% of the people, at least, that pray over their meals just do it because they're supposed to. They don't expect anything to change. I'm going to eat this thing. If something's wrong with it, they get sick just like everybody else. Why? Because the word concerning the prayer at mealtime didn't have any effect because of tradition. Well, now the same thing's true in our offerings, and that was what the purpose was last night in studying this. Now we're going to continue down this line tonight in Luke chapter 6. Let's look in the 20th verse. Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed. Well, now we know what the subject of this message is, right? The blessing of the Lord. It's the subject of every message he preached. That's what he preached. And everywhere he went, he took the first text from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to preach recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's supernatural debt cancellation. Amen. Now, you see, all of that whole list, you could actually say it like this for clarity. You could say it, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, the poor are the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, those in debt. Did you ever notice how people use these words and somebody says so-and-so got sick and they say, oh, poor man. Poor man. Because he got sick. Didn't say nothing about his money. Poor man. Well, so-and-so husband went home to be with the Lord. Oh, that poor woman. Can you see that?
Yes.
Poverty is lack that's brought on by the curse to steal the blessing of the Lord. That's what it does. So now when you have understanding, a broader understanding of that, Jesus preached, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the blessing." Because Galatians 3:8 said the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed. In you shall the Gentiles be blessed, along with the kinfolks of Ham and Japheth, along with the kinfolks of Seth." Because all nations is not but three people. God blessed Noah and his sons. Well, you got to be kin to one of them. Amen?
Amen.
And I've heard Jesse Duplantis say this. He's actually said that he's kin to all three. And so am I. Praise God. You are too. You run the records long enough, I mean, you're going to find out you Gentiles from four or five different directions. Praise God. But Jesus bore that curse in order for the blessing of Abraham to come on the rest of us. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, which is the promise God made Abraham, which was, "In you so shall your seed be what? Be fruitful, be multiply, subdue the earth and have dominion over it." Amen. Well, we're getting there, aren't we? Praise God. And the Lord's helping us to open our eyes and renew our minds. So, blessed are you poor. Now that's not referring to poverty. And how in the world a translator's got that out of that? I'm still kind of baffled over it. But when you go look it up, it literally says this: blessed are those whose only source is God. For theirs is the kingdom of God. So now, he's talking about the blessing. Then you remember, the word says Abraham's faith activated Abraham's blessing. Amen. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. So Jesus then begins to preach and teach on conduct that's conducive to the blessing and the anointing and conduct that will stop it. And that's what this sermon's about. Amen. So, he said, you can read down and study this. Verse 28, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Why not curse them? They curse me. You don't want to practice cursing coming out your mouth because you want to practice blessing coming out your mouth. So you want to bless all the time. I don't care who it is. Well, they don't deserve it. Well, neither did you. So get over that. We practice blessing all the time. We practice it all the time. Practice makes perfect. And what you practice will come up to the surface so that it's ready all the time. If you practice anger all the time, you get mad at inanimate things. You get mad at your tools. You get mad at your computer. You get, and I understand that myself, but you get mad over all these different things. You're practicing anger. You'll get mad at the wrong time. Because the anger is there. You really didn't want to do that, but the anger popped out before you could, and then you got to repent. Right. Well, there's nothing wrong with repenting, but it'd be better if you hadn't done it in the first place. Amen. So practice blessing. Somebody just comes up and just calls you something awful. Say, "God bless you," and turn around and get out of there. At least they'll choke down long enough to shut up while you can get out of the room. Bless them that persecute you. Bless them that despitefully use you. See, as long as you do that, they have no effect on your life. None. But if you join them, then their spirit has an effect on your life, and it's going to stop the blessing right in its tracks. Amen. So that's what Jesus is teaching here. Well, he keeps on talking about this. Give to every man that asketh of him that taketh away your goods, ask them not again. Don't pay any attention to it if somebody steals from it. I mean, sow it into his life before he can get out of sight. Make a seed out of it and you get 100-fold return on it. Amen. But you can't if the blessing's not in operation. Because the blessing itself is what causes the spirit and the anointing of abundance to function in your behalf. Take Job as your example. Now that you know these things, go back and check out and see what happened to Job. Satan couldn't get through that blessing wall. He said, does he serve you for nothing? You have blessed him. There's a wall around him. And the New Living Translation says, and look how rich he is. That's what Satan was so upset about. Well, actually, Job set the stage for the breakdown of the blessing. But his wife is the one that committed it. He set the stage for it because instead of making a sacrifice in faith and standing on that sacrifice, the scripture said he made the same sacrifice continually. Over and over and over and over and over again, because he was afraid his children would curse God. So fear opened the door for it. Well, how did his wife have anything to do with it? She like got them all killed. She did get most, got her children killed. How did she do it? She committed it in her heart. There's only one sin dealt with, only one thing that Satan accused Job of. Put your hand on him, he'll curse you to your face. That's what he accused Job of doing. He told God he'll curse you if you take his stuff away from him. So what was Job afraid of? Afraid his children would curse God. See, Satan can't do anything without getting it on your mind. So what did his wife say? Why don't you curse God and die? She did it in her heart. That's what opened the door. That's what tore down the wall. And Satan had a field day, but he couldn't get to Job. And Job just stayed with it. And God got a preacher in there that stirred up his faith and stirred up a sacrifice of faith. And the moment he made it, God turned his captivity. Wham! That wall went back up and slapped the devil in the face. And the blessing of double went into operation because of his shame. For your shame, you shall receive the double. Amen. I mean it now. You need to learn that and walk in that. Satan tries to shame you. You just get up and shout loud as you can. Why, bless the Lord God. Bless those people that have attacked me. They set me up for the devil. Yeah. Woo, bring her on. Because you're already victorious anyway if you stay with the word and practice the blessing of the Lord. And that's what this sermon is about. Now, sandwiched right in this message, he's talking about the things that hinder the blessing. He's talking about the practice that we conduct ourselves in to cause the blessing to function. Now, notice what he put right in the middle of that. Verse 31, as you would that men should do to you, you do likewise to them. Now you know why he said that. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a spiritual law. That's what keeps the blessing going. You start treating others the way they treat you, you're not going to be any more blessed than they are. But these are things that you have to practice continually. in spite of the devil, amen, in spite of other people, just put the blessing on your heart and on your mind and just bless somebody. Make any difference what they do. Your salvation is not based on them. Listen to your Lord. Listen to the one that saved you, not the one that's cursing you. Now, you good to them which do good to you, what thank of you? For sinners do also the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Thanks from who, Lord? Thanks from your Father. For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Love your enemies, do good, lend hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and you'll be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. See, God's trying to get through to this guy that won't listen to him. Not just your friends, not just the people that believe like you do. He's trying to get through to the guy on the street, and the guy won't listen to God. So he's coming to us and say, don't pay any attention to how he acts or how ugly he talks to you. Go love him anyway. And when you have a feast or so forth, invite him. So you go and do that. And God comes and says, thank you. I've been trying to get through to him. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to minister to that person that's hurting so bad. That's the reason he's hurting. He's not blessed. He's cursed. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'm talking about the gospel here. I'm talking about living this way all the time. Man, I'm telling you, people will look at you and say, that beats all I ever saw. I don't understand that. I don't care what happens. That guy comes out on top. Amen. And we do. Now then, look at this. Be ye therefore merciful, as your heavenly Father also is merciful. What does mercy do? Mercy blesses you when you deserve a whipping. Mercy blesses you when you deserve a fat lip. You understand? That's what mercy does. Mercy endures forever. And you and I better be glad it does. Amen. Oh, hell would be bigger tonight if mercy didn't endure forever. I can guarantee you that. Speaking for myself. Judge not that you be not judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you measure it, it will be measured to you again. See, you can't forget all the rest of that other stuff and just say, well, I'll give and it'll be given unto me again, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Not if you're acting ugly. Because you're cutting the blessing off before it has a time to work. Why do you think other men would give into your bosom? Because the blessing of the Lord is upon them. Why is it upon them? Because it came out of you. Amen. But it doesn't just work in little spurts and jags just sometime or another cause you behind on your car payment. Well, I'm on the one. Oh, yeah. And then just go on right on with your own judgmental self. No, it's as you walk in it and practice it. You're giving all the time. Adopt the prospering principle. You're to bless. That's the reason the blessing is in you and on you. You have been given the God-given power and authority to bless on His level. And the more you live and walk like this, the more powerful the blessing is when you release it and bless someone. When I say, God bless you, I intend for your life to change right that moment. I see it in me. It affects me when I say it. And there are times that it is so powerful that the moment that it comes out of my mouth, whomever I said it to, and and myself included, just get weak-kneed. Mm-hmm. Why? I expect it to do just what it says. Amen.
Amen.
I had one man wrote me and told me, he said, Copeland and I was seeking for God, and he said, man, I looked at every religion I could find, and he said, I watched everything on television, I read books, I was looking into every kind of a goofy deal you could ever hear of, but he said, I came across your broadcast one day, he said, I didn't have any idea who you were, but he said, when I came across your broadcast, all of a sudden, I was compelled to watch it. And then you gave an invitation for people to accept Jesus. Now, he said, I'd heard a lot of invitations. I'd heard it on television. I'd heard it in church meetings where I'd been. But he said, on that day, when you gave that invitation, he said, something came all over me and compelled me to pray that prayer with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the difference? I expected it to do that. My faith was on the line for it to do that.
Amen.
Amen. I said, when God first called us into this television, radio and television ministry, I said it before the Lord. I said, I'm asking you for people to accidentally find this radio broadcast. And I exercised my faith. I laid up a petition before the Lord. I used the scripture when Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. Nobody showed up at the meetings, and John and James wanted to call fire down on them. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are, boy. So you can see who was gathering up the crowds. It was the Holy Ghost. He was compelling people to come. Well, I said, Lord, I'm asking you to do that. Well, I had people to tell me, write me, and all kinds of things. Say, you know, I was just going across the dial one day and heard you preach. And I don't know what did that. I just couldn't help it. I just had to listen to it. Had one woman said that she was sitting in her hospital room on the side of the bed, and the doctor had just left her room and had given her a death sentence. And she said she was absolutely stunned. And she said she was just sitting there, just staring out into space, and there was a little bedside radio in that hospital room. She said, my arm just went like that and turned that radio on. She said, I thought, I don't want to listen to the radio. But she said, the minute I turned that radio on, you said, you're not sick and you're not going to die.
Praise God.
Well, she said, I said, I'm not. Okay. She said, I just to make this story short, she said, that was, I believe at this time, she said, that was 6 weeks ago. She said, I've been born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. My husband got born again and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Both our kids have gotten saved and filled with the Spirit. My husband's got a new job. I've got a new job. I'm totally healed. It's 6 weeks. Now, well, what did that? Well, it was a miracle. Well, it was this, or well, it was that. Now we know what it was. The blessing was in operation. Amen. 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 Why? Because I prayed and believed for it to be in operation. Amen. One guy said, Copeland, I left New York City. He said, I'm a over-the-road trucker, and he said, I left New York City. And he said, I just kind of stumbled across your broadcast right out on the edge of town. And he said, I'm headed west. And he said, as I drove along, I'd run out of range of it, but he said, I'd come in range of it again, and you're preaching the same message. And he said, I got hold of that broadcast all the way from New York to Los Angeles. He said, by the time I got out of Georgia, I was born again. By the time I got out of Texas, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. By the time I got to Los Angeles, I was called a priest. All one message. Wow. Well, what was at work? The blessing of the Lord was working. Was it working for me? No, it was working with me. The grace of God was working with me. Amen. It was working in me. It was working on me. It was working around me, above me and beneath me. Amen. Hallelujah. When the blessing is in operation, then the angels that are sent to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation, when they go into full operation when the blessing is in operation. That's the reason these words are so important. So give, he said, and it will be given unto you again, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you measure it, it'll be measured to you. You give teaspoons, you get teaspoons. One teaspoon, you get a hundredfold return, you got 100 teaspoons. I can't make it on teaspoons myself. Amen. We had to, I'm telling you, when I first got a hold of this, we had to start with dump trucks. I mean, because we needed everything when we found out about this. But it's the way you give it. You get into the prospering, blessing mode. Not looking for somebody to bless you, but looking for somebody to bless. You stay in a hotel room, don't do things that do not prosper the owner of that hotel. Oh, that's that big hotel chain there. I don't care who it is, they're just people. Get on your mind the prospering of whomever owns this franchise or whomever owns this hotel. Get it on your mind to prosper them. You don't need to take 25 of them little soap bars home with you. You get them home, you won't use them. Who wants to use that little Mickey Mouse soap in the first place? No, don't do that. Use what you need. It's part of the price you paid for the room. But don't just make it your goal in life to use up every dollar you paid. I'm telling you, I paid for this. No, the man needs to make a profit. Leave his hangers hanging in the closet. Bless that little girl that's having to clean up after you every day. Fold those towels up and stack them all in one place where she only has to bend over one time to get the dirty towels in your room. Put yourself in her place. Think about her. Amen. And don't be like that guy talking about a full gospel businessman's convention. He worked in a bar in a hotel, and he said that bunch has been here for a week. They come down here with the Ten Commandments and a $10 bill, and they ain't broke neither one of them since they've been here. No. No, you don't. You're there to prosper somebody. You're there to bless somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put a minimum limit on your tip. I don't ever tip less than $5. I don't care if I didn't get but 50 cents worth. Don't ever just leave nickels and dimes. And don't go out of there leaving a gospel track. Unless it got some money, some serious money in it. If you're going to leave a gospel track, then you better put some real money inside the thing. Amen. It ought to get to work. Wherever you go to eat, the waitresses gang up when they see you coming. Get to where they fight over who gets to wait on you. Amen. Oh, yeah. Sure. There's one place where Gloria and I go quite frequently, and there's one of the waitresses there that one day we got there, and I looked around the room to see if she was there, and in just a few minutes, here she come running through the front door. And she's kind of huffing, you know, when she got over to our table. She said, "I was on my way home, and I saw you and Gloria in the car." Ain't nobody else gonna get that 20. Hey. Well, now what do you think happens when they're coming across the television and they see Gloria on the screen? They're gonna stop and listen to what she does. Amen. Now you said this ain't my message tonight. I'm just receiving the offering. You understand? Yes, it is my message tonight. Amen. This is the way we're supposed to live all the time. It ought to be when somebody does something ugly to you, you don't even know it. Ha. We have a tendency. All human beings have a tendency to try to figure it out for yourself rather than go to somebody that knows. Instead of starting with the answer, we lay awake all night long trying to figure out the answer. And it ain't in there. You can think all night long and it ain't gonna come up because it ain't in your head. I can give you an outstanding example of that. Now, I don't care where you go, you just watch people try to eat a banana. They take the banana and catch it by the stem and try to open it. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you have to get a knife and cut it. So what does that have to do with anything? Nobody bothers to ask a monkey. They are called to eat bananas. Bananas were created for them. They don't ever try to open one from the stem. They turn it over and open it from the what we call the bottom. To the monkey, it's the top. Easy. You never have to use a knife on another banana again if you just find out what the monkey does. I can see it on some of your face. I'm going to get me a banana when I get home. I'm going to check this preacher out. Yeah, you do it. You hold that banana up there and grab that on what we've been calling the bottom. And I mean, it just peels. Amen. Hallelujah. So now, remember what Jesus said concerning the loaves and the fishes? They were in a situation that was the same as many famine, because by choice they'd left the towns and they were out in a place where there wasn't any food and no water unless they brought it out there. So to get something to eat, they had to have the blessing in operation. So what did Jesus say? Bring it to me. That may be the biggest words. Now, that's second biggest words in the Bible. The biggest words in the Bible are, you come to me. You're heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. Everybody in the whole world will try to work you to death, except God. And people kill themselves working for God. But it isn't what he told you to do that's killing you. It's all those add-ons that you put on there trying to satisfy God and satisfy, you know, you can folks. Jesus just said, you burden, you heavy laden, you come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you my joy. Learn this of me. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. Hallelujah. Now, if we'll follow his words and his example, you'll find out how easy life really can be Amen. And when you get to the point sometime where you just think, I can't stand another minute of it. Jesus, what was that you said about easy? You know what he'll say? Sit down, baby. Amen. Just shh, sit down. Be quiet. Yeah, but Brother Copeland told you to put your yeah butt out back in the box. Now just come on, just sit down. Let me talk to you a little bit. I bless you. I'm here. I was here yesterday when you were trying to figure all that out for yourself. So just relax. Everything's gonna be all right. Oh, glory be to God. That's the reason why we must put the Word of God first place in our life and practice it. Father, we receive the offering this evening in the name of Jesus. Reveal to us, each one, our part of the finances of this meeting and the financial part of this ministry. And oh, sir, we give you praise and we honor you. In Jesus' name, I release the blessing of increase that Jesus released on the loaves and the fishes. I release the blessing of increase that Jesus spoke of when he said, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I release it in Jesus' name. Amen.